discussion and understanding so that you can both move forward constructively. Thank you, Arisha, for this book that helps us see and embrace all of our humanity and raise good humans despite our gaffes and conflicts. Take your time and dive deep into this book. Do this important heart work now, and your whole family will benefit for years to come. Hunter Clark Fields, MSAE, author of Raising Good Humans. Introduction. Mommy! My 6-year-old daughter was sitting at the kitchen counter in her purple and blue flowered dress, her legs dangling from the wooden stool, her eyes cast toward the floor. I knelt down in front of her, my eyes meeting hers. They were brimming with sadness, fear, and confusion. Ellie, what's up, baby?
I feel all alone in the woods, she cried.
I lifted up her head and held her face in my hands. My tears met hers. I'm here with you, baby. I know everything feels confusing right now, but you're not alone. I still remember my daughter's words as if she had uttered them yesterday. They were the wake-up call that torpedoed me out of my stupor about a week after Ellie's dad moved out of the house. They shook me to my core. The divorce I was going through was my nightmare. It shouldn't be hers. Yet Ellie was suffering. She didn't feel secure. Her world had become full of unknowns, a scary woods. We'd often taken walks in the woods together as a family, her dad and I holding her hands as we guided her along the winding, rocky path. Now he wasn't here anymore, and I was too immersed in trying to keep my head above water to be fully present for her. Every day was a struggle to show up for my clients and to wrangle with the thoughts, anger, grief, anxiety, and fears that were trading places within my body and mind from moment to moment. No wonder Ellie felt lost. Fortunately, I was able to hear her wake-up call. I took it to heart and used it to reshape the relationship I was embarking on, co-parenting with her dad. No matter how I felt about him, she needed the two of us to continue to provide safety, security, and clarity. I couldn't do that alone. Ellie needed her dad to be her dad, and I needed that too. It was a humbling experience to sit at the intersection of my discomfort about relating to someone I never wanted to see again, and my realization that healthy co-parenting was the best way to provide the comfort and secure base our daughter needed to thrive and grow. Her dad and I had made the choice to have a parenting partnership when we decided to have a child together. Now it was on us to differentiate the parenting part from the romantic part of our relationship, which was over. My daughter was asking us to continue being parents together, even under two roofs. It was up to us to listen and show up. Our cultural understanding about how marriages and families should work has been and still is changing, especially in the United States. According to the Pew Research Center, about a quarter of U.S. children under the age of 18 live with one parent and no other adult. Worldwide, single-parent homes are under 10%. Since the 1960s, family living arrangements have become more diverse. More people are choosing to create different family systems, shifting away from the traditional paradigm of gender roles and structures. Some of this is related to the changing rates of divorce, remarriage, and non-marital cohabitation. You may be listening to this because you are separated or divorced from a partner you previously parented with under one roof, or because you've made a conscious choice to co-parent within some other arrangement. You may be a single parent, or you may have partnered with someone else, or you may see co-parenting on your near horizon. You may have an infant or a toddler or a teen or something in between. Whatever your unique situation, this book will guide you to create a co-parenting relationship that allows your child to thrive. Beyond Separation and Divorce.